You've been talking quite a lot over the last few weeks, I think, about God's presence, which makes all the difference. And I just want to talk a little bit about the promise of God's presence, because I think it's really very, very important for you to know that God is with you, and he wants to do things for you. And so I was quite intrigued by Roger's story at the beginning about, you know, setting up his bike stall outside Sainsbury's and all the rest of it. But I want to suggest to you that actually God wants every single one of you to know that he's with you, so that the sort of things that he can do, you can do. One of the most exciting evenings that Lorraine and I had in the last few weeks was... we've got some friends who work in a housing association in Oxford, which houses homeless people. And they said to us, will you come to this housing, an opening of a house, two houses actually, on an estate in Oxford? We'd really like you to see them. We'd like you to pray with us, etc. So it was a little bit out of duty that we went to this house opening ceremony, wasn't it? Really. I mean, they were our friends. We felt a bit obligated. We had to go. But we had the most fascinating evening that we have had for ages. Because what happened in lockdown is, in a sense, we all got hemmed in, didn't we? And, you know, it was about managing our lives. And... you know, it's like it was hard for us to reach out. It was hard for us to build relationships with people. It was hard for us to think about growing. We've just been to France and Belgium, our first trip for 18 months, which is really unusual for us because we travel a lot. Our first trip for 18 months is like being let out suddenly. And we've had this period of time when we've been hemmed in by our circumstances, couldn't do anything about it. That's how it is. And I think, I mean, we didn't really say this to one another, because you just have to do what you have to do, don't you, in the sort of situation that we've been in. But this evening that we went there was like a sort of breath of fresh air for us. Because several years ago, Headington Baptist Church in Oxford got a vision for planting a little church on Barton Estate. Now, I don't know if you know Barton. Barton's on the other side of the Ring Road from the rest of Oxford and from Headington. It's like this bit that was built as an extra bit of the city, which has always been run down, always been, you know, poverty-stricken, really, and not a very nice estate to live on. And I need to say, this is a confession coming now, I led a church in Oxford for 20 odd years, and I'd only been on the Barton estate a couple of times until that evening, when we were asked, would we go and, you know, see these two houses that were being opened and pray with others and all the rest of it. So we went to see these two houses, and it was an interesting story of how God opened them up for homeless people. But what was fascinating was we then went to a community centre where they told us the story of these two houses. And this guy, Robin, who was from Northern Ireland, stood up and he said, I was one of the people sent out by Headington Baptist Church onto this estate to plant a church here. And he had another friend whose name I forget. It was his friend, the black guy. Don't know, it doesn't really matter. But there was a couple of couples who were sent out onto this estate. As he got to know people on the estate, some of the people he got to know were homeless people. But this was their base. And so he started to get this idea about buying a house for in which they could put homeless people. He had no money, no deposit, you know, no way of doing it. He himself worked for a charity, so he wasn't the best paid person. And just no way was this going to work out. But when he started praying about it, God spoke to him about buying a second house for the pastor of their church, this church plant that was only a handful of people strong, so that they would have a pastor there as well. So it wasn't just one house, it was two houses that he began to dream about and pray about. And then he sat down with our friends and they started to dream together. And think, how could we possibly raise money to buy a couple of houses? I mean, I'm only telling this story, you know, as a sort of encouragement to faith, because sometimes you've got to dream.
Yeah.
So, they started to sort of dream together, and they just spent a couple of hours talking together. And this friend of ours is a sort of unusual character. He's quite quiet, but he has some sort of zany ideas. And he said, well, if we could get quite a few Christians to lend us a few thousand pounds each. I mean, because there's pensioners around here who've probably got a little bit of money and, you know, da-di-da-di-da. So anyway, they started to dream and they felt they came up with half a plan. So they started to talk to people and they found other people whose hearts God was touching to lend them money which would be put towards a deposit. Well, then they said, well, if we've got a deposit, this amount for a deposit, or two deposits, where can we get the bulk of the money from? They heard about a Christian bank called the Kingdom Bank. And this guy, Robin, rings up this guy who had only just had a job at the bank for, what, a couple of months? And he says to him, I've got this vision for buying a couple of houses, one for homeless people in our area, the other for a Baptist pastor. And I've got a few thousand pounds as a deposit from different people who are interested in sowing into this vision. He said to this guy who's working for the Kingdom Bank, we can do this, can't we? By which he meant, I've got a few thousand pounds, but you've got a lot more money, haven't you? Anyway. This guy who's only had a job for a couple of months and really was trying to impress his bosses about, you know, his stewardship and prudence and all the rest of it, he told his part of the story. He said, I got this guy who rung me up and sort of said, we can do that, means you can do it, can't you, this sort of thing. Anyway, listen, all I can tell you is they started telling this story and how God had put the pieces together. And it was just remarkable. And it started with a vision, a conversation, a prayer, and then would anybody ever invest in it? And, you know, and then we were there that night visiting two houses that had been bought to bless this community, bless homeless people in the community, and have a place for a Baptist pastor who could be a blessing to the community.
And top quality and beautiful, not just anything we do. Absolutely beautiful.
It was amazing. And we sat there and we thought, this is wonderful. This is God's stuff, if you know what I mean. And what I want to say to you tonight, what impressed me was, this guy just believed God was with them. He'd sent them to this estate in Barton. Have you ever been on the Barton estate?
Yeah, I have. There's some people that came, they got baptised and went.
There you go. Anyway, you know, it's a pretty run-down estate.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, people with a dream who go because God sent them there, not many of them.
Yeah.
And one of the things we can tend to think of, there's not many of us, is, can we ever break out in this town? You know, can we see things grow? And I think that's your challenge. You've been hemmed in and have even shrunk a little bit, but you know, God's with you. If God is with you, then anything's possible. And God can give you visions. He can give you dreams. He can answer your prayers. this guy's nothing special, is he? I mean, we are talking about just a couple of ordinary bods. And yet,
but he's got a good sense of humour.
Yes, yes. Anyway,
it helps.
It helps. I'm very encouraged, Becky, by the way you led the prayers, just to see the number of things that you're going up. And we didn't lead our prayer for pregnancy choices. We assumed it's a counselling service, but anyway, God bless that counselling service. We didn't know enough about it to pray with confidence as to what it was. But I think it's encouraging that you're involved with so many things. And I suppose I just want to say to you now, look, you're a small group, but God's with you. Right? God, and God's presence makes all the difference. And we have these sometimes these small beginnings in little mission halls and things like that. I was in one of those churches in Liverpool when I was, born again. And God can do remarkable things out of that. And I suppose I want to encourage you to think that God wants you to understand the power of his presence amongst you. Now, let me just give you 4 points about the presence of God, and then maybe we'll just pray. And I'll tell you what I'm praying for is, it's nice to see God do a little miracle here and there. I'm not minimising those little miracles, they're important. But from those can flow ripples of life to many other people. And if all of us can get some vision of people God can touch around us and the power of God that is available to us, then we can see remarkable things happen. Now, I want to quote to you a very familiar psalm. You know it, you don't even need to turn to it. It's Psalm 23. And King David is king of Israel. And he is called, he knows, to be a shepherd to other people. In fact, to God's people. And he thinks, however am I going to do this? And the answer comes, well, the Lord's my shepherd. I'm not want. I'm called to be their shepherd, but he's my shepherd, and he's the one who will help me. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, one of the things we have all experienced over these last 18 months is the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And time and time again, when we've prayed on our own and with others and felt maybe some of the loneliness or isolation or fear or anxiety or whatever it is that we've felt about our situation, because we've all been touched by this situation in different ways, we've discovered the presence of God that is with us wherever we are. And so I want to say, you felt that. He's answered your prayers. A couple of years ago, Jeff and Muriel Chad came over to our house to see us. We were just talking with them about this, that, and the other. And we have a little conservatory out of the back of our house. And Lorraine happened to say to Muriel, Stephen and I pray in the conservatory every morning. We like the conservatory as a place. It's a place of prayer because it's light and it's bright. And we can look at the garden. Lorraine loves the garden and birds and flowers and all the rest of it. That's, gets her going in the mornings. And I won't tell you how many bird feeders we have for all the different birds that come to different areas. I maintain that Lorraine spends more feeding the birds than feeding me.
Sounds a bit like my pleasure.
Muriel said, oh, that's your chapel, is it? Just like that. It's a funny thing. Sometimes God sows a little seed in you. And since then, most mornings, we say to one another, shall we go to the chapel then? And we go out to our conservatory and we open the Bible and we pray together. We often open a hymn book as well and read one of the old hymns together. And we're encouraged by this. We like the new songs, but we like the old hymns as well. And it's like, time and time again, God met us there. In a time of lockdown, in a time of confinement, in a time of, you know, some challenges personally, you know, God met us there. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. Now, we've proved he's with us, okay? So that's what I'm asking you to remember. You've met him time and time again. Now, there was a prophet in the Old Testament times called Haggai. And I'm going to read a few verses from this prophet. He didn't have a very long ministry, and it wasn't very powerful, and his first prophetic message wasn't very long. See, people of Israel were being called to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, but they were really pretty disappointed by all that had happened, because it was hard work. They were struggling to do it. The task was too big, and you know, they felt it was beyond them. And frankly, they had lost courage and vision. And so Haggai turns up on the scene. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, this is Haggai chapter 1 and verse 13, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. That's all he says in his first prophetic message. Now, if somebody came alongside you, Chris, and sort of said, I am with you, you'd think, well, yes, I think I know that. You know, it's sort of, it would feel like a very ordinary prophetic word. We tend to rate prophetic words, you know, and ones that build great faith and others that are a bit ordinary. It would be an ordinary one. It wasn't for this bunch of people. When Haggai came and said, I am with you, they suddenly realised that the presence of the Lord made the difference, and there was a rebuilding work for them to do. And I want to suggest to you that there's a rebuilding work that God wants you to do in Swindon. After, you know, what you've been through in the last few years, which we don't need to sort of go in because you know it all, but there's a rebuilding work to happen, and God is with you. And you are not going to stay small like this forever. You're not going to stay locked down. You're not going to stay hemmed in. You know, God's with you, and he wants to do things through you. And then they all get going, and they all get building, because they understand, well, if God's with us, we'd better get on with it. And I suppose that's what we want to say this evening. If God's with you, that gives you the confidence to do anything. You don't need to have fear, anxiety, worry, you know, will people think you're barmy, will people think you're strange because you're a little group, you know, will they think you're odd, etc., etc. No, if God's with you, that settles the issue. And he wants to bless you, and he wants to work through you. And in the next chapter, and there are only two chapters in this book, Haggai is told to speak to the leader of God's people, a man called Zerubbabel, and another man called Joshua, and he says, ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? In other words, you've seen good things in the past. How does it look to you now? Doesn't it seem to you like nothing? But now, be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. He's repeating the same thing again. I'm with you. The thing we need to know, remember, gives us confidence, is God's with us. And this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I'll fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Silver and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. God wants to do something better than you've seen before. He wants to rebuild you. He wants you to build together. And he wants to understand he's with you to help you rebuild. So he's with you. He's been with you in times of difficulty. And he's with you in times of tough building. So that's my second point. He's with you in times of tough building. If you've got to build back up, Roger and I, God's with you. You don't need to fear, worry, be anxious, anything else. But then the whole team, God's with you, and he wants to bless you. And if God can bless these odd people on the Barton estate, he can bless you here in Swindon, no question about it. Thirdly, God is present in his city. And actually, I love the song that you led us in, Tom. God has yet more wonderful things to do in the city, or however it goes, you know. But that one.
God of the city.
God of the city. I like that one. We first sang it at a Salton Light conference quite a few years ago, and I remember a guy called Frank from Denmark leading us in that song, and it arrested my heart. You know, just occasionally when you sing the song, you go, wow, that's it. And, you know, God's got greater things he wants to do yet. I did notice that Becky corrected something, that Swindon's a town, not a city. I think Swindon's had aspirations to be a city, hasn't
yes.
it?
Oh, yeah.
Why shouldn't it be? You know, I mean, I think maybe God wants to do something bigger here than Swindon has seen. I've always felt, Lorraine and I have been in this area for a number of years and always had a thing for Swindon. Lorraine used to work in the hospital in Swindon for a year when she was younger.
when the hospital was older, when you were PMH before they
don't really want.
I was born
PMH. Well, there you go. And Lorraine's always had a heart for Swindon, and we've always had a heart together for Swindon and wanted to see something flourish here. It seems to me that a lot of the church life has been very higgledy-piggledy, one way and another. And, you know, it just seems time for God to do something bigger, not just through you, but through others as well, you know, that he wants to build together for the glory of his name. And I love the prophecies of Ezekiel. If you read the prophecies of Ezekiel, there's very powerful prophecies which you will know, but you might not know where they fit. But I mean, one is about the Valley of the Dry Bones coming to life and the exceedingly great army sort of standing up for the glory of God, and that's in Ezekiel chapter 37. And then Ezekiel chapter 47, there's a prophecy about the river of God flowing out through the city of Jerusalem into the desert and into the Dead Sea. It's a very powerful picture. The interesting thing, there's a verse in Psalm 46 that says, there is a river whose streams... Your kids are being very good, by the way, especially since we talked at this end. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It's an interesting verse because there was no river in Jerusalem. Just wasn't one. So the point was, this was not a physical river, this was a spiritual river. It was to do with the presence of God, and there's a river of God that flows through this city to make glad the people of God. And Ezekiel has this vision in chapter 47 of the city of God with a river flowing through it from the temple down out into the desert, and, you know, bringing fruitfulness wherever it goes. It's a vision of the city of God being a place of life, joy, and fruitfulness. And the final verse of the prophecy of Ezekiel is, it says, and the name of the Lord that was written in the city was Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. So the final part of this great renewal of God's people, great renewal of the city of God, was to put the sort of name up on the sort of, the Lord is here. It's a very, very powerful picture. And I think God wants to do that to you. God's present in this city.
Yeah.
And he wants to bring you a sense of hope and life that he is present in the city. And my final thought comes from Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus sends out his disciples on mission. And he says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me, therefore go, make disciples of people everywhere, teach them to obey what I've taught you, baptizing people, John, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So my fourth point is, God's with you when you go on mission. And one of the things that we most worry about is, if I dare to say something, will people think me silly? If I dare to tell people about the love of Christ, will people think I'm a bit strange? But Jesus says, when you do that, I'm with you. So you proved he's the God who's with you in trouble. He promises to be with you when you're building something that's tough to build. He says he's going to, you know, make the city a place where he dwells and he lives. When he sends us out on mission, he's also with us. He's the God who is with you. And I want you to be encouraged tonight. Just like he's with these people in Barton. We've only told you a bit of the story, but he did remarkable things for them. God can do remarkable things for you.